Yeah, I definitely feel like it a little bit.
Birdie, how are you doing?
I'm good. Same old, same old.
How's the teaching going? You being an educator, a big topic on the KVJ show today was about virtual schooling and how some parents are already throwing in the towel.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty tech savvy and I've been using Google Classroom since the beginning of the year, so it's not too difficult for me. I miss being in the classroom. I definitely can't help my kids as much, but it's not like stressing me out too badly because I know what I'm doing, but I've been helping other colleagues and everything like that.
Vicky, you look great. How the heck are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I never let work stress me out, so I'm good.
That's what drinking does. I've noticed you've been drinking lately.
Now today it's water.
Sure.
Because earlier I was on a Google Meet and a third grade PLC, and I was eating a churro donut from Jupiter Donuts, and I almost choked to death. So I make sure I have water now.
Vicky, you are the most popular person on this podcast. People want to get a hold of you. You've got a gift. You have a talent. Let the people know, how do they get a hold of you if they are struggling with something in their house or just whatever is going on?
Okay. It's funny you say that because I actually have a little bit of a resurgence on email lately. A lot of people inquiring about readings. I had a couple requests for investigations. Now, as far as investigations are concerned, because of COVID-19, we are not conducting any on-site investigations for Point Paranormal. However, if you are having an issue, you can email me at contact@pointparanormal.com. I can see if I can help you remotely, give you some advice that way. And that's the same email you use if you want a reading, which I have been doing either extremely discounted or free because of the situation.
Well, I appreciate you doing that for the nice people, for the weirdos out there. And with that said, because you are donating some of your time, throw Vicky a little cheddar, y'all, if you want. She deserves it.
Cheddar cheese?
Well, no, a little cheddar. If she's helping you out, don't be afraid to donate to Vicky's services. I will always promote that.
Absolutely.
Danny, how are you, my little tiger face?
I'm doing well, in case anyone's wondering.
Give me a
halfway
roar,
through.
Baby. Give me a roar, baby. Give me a roar, baby. Give me another roar, baby. Yeah. I love it.
I'm not going to lie. It is fun. It is fun. People do look at you weird, and I've had a few people take photos probably because they're like, this person's driving around dressed like a tiger.
Hopefully we don't have to address this again, but real quick, Denny's lost a video game challenge to me. He has to wear a tiger face. Moving on. All right. Now we are on Facebook tonight. We usually do YouTube. I have got a lot of explaining to do. A lot of pushback, Denny's, from the YouTube chat room. Here's what it comes down to. And I'm just going to give you guys as quick as I can because we don't want to spend too much time on this. But for example, this is a text message that I got. And this kind of sums up the overall attitude from some people, not everybody, because there's a lot of kind people out there. But I gave my number out on the air a couple weeks ago, Beckett, to, you know, just to talk to the nice
just
people.
Stirred up.
It's starting to get weird again. People are starting to become assholes. This is the text message I got today, Denny's, after I announced we're going to Facebook.
Gotcha.
I'm never listening to your sorry ass again. You're changing from YouTube to Facebook just because of numbers, 5 question marks. I thought you gave a shit about your fans. You clearly don't. You just lost another listener. Some things are more important than numbers, asshole. Okay, so that was a text message that I got. Can't imagine why I want to change my number, Debbie. Y'all, it just comes down to this. We get way bigger numbers than anything we do on Facebook. And at the end of the day, I have a job. I have to answer to bosses. And it's always about numbers. It's always about sales. And our Facebook just gets more interaction. For example, our Weird Whatever podcast last week on YouTube, I think there might be 3 comments in the comment section. Unfortunately, I have to answer to people too. And Facebook is just better numbers. We'll see what happens if Facebook sucks ass. We'll go back to YouTube. But just know a lot of it's not me just wanting to be a dick here. I got to answer to people just like y'all do. So Denny, you can back me up. Just on the logistics and the numbers,
Yeah, we get a lot more interaction. In fact, just even right now alone, we've gotten more interaction than we typically do on the YouTube. It is a bummer changing platforms. I get there's benefits to each, but during the time of quarantine, there's a lot more people on social media. So the audience has kind of shifted it, and we follow, you know, where the audience trend is.
Yeah, that's just really what it comes down to. I do, you know, I want the YouTube audience to know it's going to go right up on YouTube as soon as this is over. But it just to see how it's going and just to change. If our YouTube numbers were awesome, it'd be a different story. They're okay. The way it works, just so y'all know, we care about podcast downloads number one. That's the numbers me and Denny sees. That's the numbers that my work really gives a crap about. That first and foremost is the most important. Those numbers are really good. That's what's awesome. Facebook numbers are a lot higher than YouTube. That's just the way it goes. So that's the note. That's why I have to go ahead and say all that stuff. I know it's boring for some people, but a lot of people want an explanation of why it's all going on, and it's strictly just numbers. If you guys want to chime in on your opinion, go for it.
It's numbers, baby. It's really it. I mean, it's just – it really is. It's all it is. It's just in this times, more people are on social media. They're scrolling through.
My bosses are watching Facebook numbers for whatever reason. They're not watching YouTube numbers.
Well, they need to be watching the show. That's what they need to be watching.
You tell them, Vicky.
Yeah.
Tell my bosses. And they should give me a raise.
Jen's giving you crap in the chat.
Like always.
Here, Denny's wife.
What is she saying?
She's saying, why do you hate the people, bird?
I know, I hate the people so much. But that's the explanation. Boring for some, hopefully an answer for others, and let's get into it. Vicky, people want to know, can human ashes bring on a ghost in someone's house? Now, let me go ahead and read you a little bit of this email. It says, "Dear Weird Whatever, ever since I brought my uncle's ashes in my house, my life has been turned upside down. My uncle was a terrible person. Nobody liked him when he was alive. He was a violent man. Long story short, his daughter got sick, passed away. Her husband begged me to take the ashes of her father." You guys following along still? Yeah. The mean uncle. "I didn't think much of it, so I said yes. After these ashes entered my home, my life has been turned upside down. I've been burned in my sleep. My son got thrown against the wall by something invisible, and my wife feels like she was pushed down the stairs, which led to her spraining her ankle. I have gotten rid of the ashes, yet the nightmare continues. None of this was going on before the ashes. What do I do now? We live in Alabama in the middle of nowhere. Things get kind of creepy, y'all. We need advice, the Murray family."
Okay, first and foremost, in regards to the ashes, I think somebody being attached to their ashes would have to do with what they really wanted to happen to their ashes once they were gone. If their wish was to be spread in a rose garden and you keep them in a box in your closet, it's a possibility that they would be upset because their last wishes weren't honored. However, the level of activity that they are talking about should not have been caused by a disgruntled uncle. So especially if the ashes were removed from the home, it could be that if the uncle was such a negative person, he might have picked up some other negative entities with him on the other side. And when his ashes were moved to their home, it could be that these other negative entities used that as an opportunity to gain access to their home. So I would be more concerned that it's something else, not the uncle.
Could I throw this at you? Let's say the uncle had some kind of demonic possession in his time. And when he died, he still had, I don't know, some remnants in there of the devil being inside him. Then he gets burned, his ashes, and then those ashes enter the home. Could that not bring some type of demonic feel to it?
It could. I mean, I hate to put a label on demonic so quickly without looking at all the factors that are involved. But if the person wants me to, there's two things I could do. Number one, they can contact me. We can do the on the phone interview so I can look at all the things that have happened and then give advice from there. or I can find a reputable team in their area that can help them. They probably will have the same rules where they can come in after we've been cleared to be able to go to people's homes. But either one, if they want to send me an email, I'll be willing to help them remotely.
If you were in the middle of an investigation and a spirit or an entity, for whatever reason, became enamored with you or obsessed with you, is it possible for that spirit to contact you or communicate with you in your dreams?
Oh, absolutely. I've had cases where I've been made some kind of connection with the spirit and they've come to me in dreams. For me, dreaming is not as frequent as them just coming and communicating with me, period. Like I said last week, I had a spirit that I've been trying to get in touch with. I used a recorder in my car and they answered me while in my car. So absolutely. Some people it's easier for dreams. My dreams are so wacky and crazy and mixed up. Most spirits know, don't even bother to go there because there's too much going on.
I wish we could get to a point where we're able to TiVo or record our dreams. Is TiVo even a thing? I don't know. Isn't that like 5 years ago, 10 years ago?
It's like built in now.
If you were able to go inside my brain when I dream, for example, my night terrors are at every single night, 5 out of 5, Armageddon. It picks up where it happened last night. It's almost like a Netflix series, Beckett. It's very intense. But if you were able to go inside my brain and record and see the shit that I'm going through during my dreams, oh my gosh, we have a hit show, my friends.
I think it would also be therapeutic. I think that a lot of times our dreams are nighttime therapy, and we're supposed to be looking at what's happening in those dreams to figure out what we need to deal with when we are awake. It also would be nonstop spirit communication. You would get all the messages that you need. You would remember them. They'd be right there. It would be optimal if we could actually record them.
Beckett, when's the last time you had a real, real, just vivid dream, details just popping?
It's ironic that you say that, because as part of me trying to get back in shape, I've curtailed the drinking in the last couple days, few days in quarantine. And what I noticed is when I haven't had any drinks and I'm like just real, like more kind of focused on me and I'm thinking real clear, and I'm working out and I'm doing all that and I'm getting a good night's sleep, which probably has something to do with me actually getting into deep sleep or REM sleep, I actually have a really vivid dream. So actually in the last literally couple nights, especially last night, I had real, real vivid dreams.
Oh, baby, did one of your abs fall off? You only have a 5-pack now? Is that all that's going on?
It's more of a keg these days.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's go ahead and see your stomach and see my stomach. Yeah. I'll show you.
As he's touching himself, it's still there.
Yeah, guys, I got to tell you, I'm really, really bummed out how my body is.
What was your dream about last night? You said it was real vivid.
Keep it sexy, Beckett.
It was something on the water, like something like out like boating or skiing or something like that. I don't remember the details. It's the other thing that I realize, like if I don't write it down.
Oh, you're skiing. So you're even rich in your dreams.
The women in bikinis.
It was a little dingy. No, but you know what's interesting is in the morning, I remember my dream pretty well, but if I don't write it down or talk about it, then like as the day goes on, like I almost like lose the memory of the dream. It's really
fleeting. It's a weird thing. So some night terrors that I have, I'm not going to lose them. It's more of the ones that are not so Armageddon-like, where I'll instantly remember them as soon as I wake up and then go, that was awesome. 30 seconds later, I lose about 10% of it. 20 seconds later, I lose another 30%. Within 2 minutes, it's gone. It's crazy how that works.
Yeah, write it down. That's what I tell people. Write it down immediately. A lot of people keep their phone right next to the bed. And if they have a dream that they think had a message in it, they'll grab their phone really quick. They text it to themselves so that in the morning they can review it.
You being an educator, Vicky, messages and dreams, what would you say? If this was a syllabus, what's the percentage of dreams that we get? And I know it's just an opinion question, but what's the percentage of messages we get when it comes to dreams that actually are someone trying to give us a message? What's the percentage versus real messages to just bullshit?
I would say about 60% are messages, and the other 40% are things that you need to deal with. They're, you know, some kind of message about you and your mental health and your life and things like that. So actual spirit messages where you might be getting a specific person telling you something, about 60 and 40%. It's kind of like, this is your life kind of thing. And it just brings up, because if you look at your dreams, a lot of times there are certain elements of your day in your dream. So if that day you had fish, you might have, there might be fish in your dream. That's simply because that was part of your day. And there's things that you need to look at and examine. And that is the time where your brain is at the point where it's reflecting on itself and reflecting on your life.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and it's a shame that we can't remember them better. It really is.
The one reoccurring dream that I have since for a while now, probably 10 years, I'm back at my high school, Palm Beach Gardens High School. I am naked in the hallway, but I'm my age right now. And they're telling me that I did not graduate. You're not graduating. You're not making grades for the baseball team. You're also not walking for graduation. Also, you're in your 40s. You're naked and you're in a high school. What the shit is that about, Vicky?
Yeah, I have pajamas on in my dream though. But in my dream, I don't have my diploma. I not only do not have my college degree, I don't have my high school diploma. I would say that's more of an introspection, and we're supposed to maybe have accomplished more than we have in our life. And it's just kind of our way of beating ourselves up in a way by saying, oh, you didn't. The fact that you don't have clothes on in yours and that I'm wearing pajamas in mine is that puts us in a real vulnerable position.
It's interesting you say that, because when you really think about just life and who you're always around, the one person you are never going to escape is yourself. And if you do not like yourself, and you are, I know that sounds kind of Tony Robbins, hey, be positive, but there really is something to that. If you're always kicking the shit out of yourself mentally, that is going to, without a doubt, bleed into how you think of yourself. So I think it takes practice being positive. For some people, you wake up, the world's going to kick the shit out of you. They don't care what your dreams are, what you're going for, what you're all about. So you're going to get the shit kicked out of you. There's only one person that really is going to see everything the entire time with you, and that is yourself. Becky, I see you nodding, you're agreeing. I like that.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's cliche, but that's what they call the experience in part with ayahuasca. It takes your ego away, and they call it the ugly mirror because they hold it up. You basically see the movie of yourself, quite frankly, and the good, the bad, the ugly. And to beat Tony Robbins as well-ish, it's cliche, but they say affirmations. A lot of people really, really believe that, not just self-help coaches, but psychologists, psychiatrists, because they actually say that affirmations can actually help change you on a cellular level as to what you believe you can or cannot do. So there's a lot of truth to it.
Birdie, what are your thoughts on that?
About dreams?
No, just about positive affirmations, because there is definitely a part of the population that thinks it's silly, it's stupid. They would never do it. There's no way they're going to look in a mirror and go, I am Jason Pennington and I believe in myself, especially if your name's not Jason Pennington. But you know what I mean.
Coming from a science perspective, it's been proven genetically that, like, there was a study done with the children of Holocaust victims and how they carried that trauma on to their DNA. So their children were more likely to carry like a depression or a mental illness because of something traumatic that happened to their parents. It's been even traced down to their grandchildren. So that's an interesting study when it comes to negativity, but they've even done mental health studies where, like, even just listing 5 positive things that you're grateful for a day has changed people's mental health and their perspective. So there must be, you know, something. It's energy. If you're taking it from a scientific route or a spiritual route, it's, you put yourself around good energy, good friends, good food, good anything, you're going to be happier.
So negativity, I can understand in a situation where it's been taught to you, or there's stories told, or that's your environment and your atmosphere. How does that work if somebody inherits a depression or negative thoughts through their DNA? How would that even work?
It would change. So what happened is that when you have something traumatic happen to you, it could technically change your DNA or RNA, and then your DNA will then replicate it over and over again. So when you have children, you're giving them the changed DNA, not the DNA that you were technically born with. So
I love it. Well, with that serious shit, I think it might be time to pivot and do a little
Denny's random facts.
That was the closest one yet.
We're getting there, baby.
You guys are. I think you're getting a feel for it.
All right. So as always, Denny's gives his random facts, which I love, my favorite segment of the podcast. Vicky, our educator, she grades each factoid. If Denny's nails it, he gets an A. If he sucks, he gets an F. Denny's, the floor is yours.
Well, to kind of keep it on a similar topic, there was a study just conducted that resulted earlier this year. Scientists scanned the brains of lifelong bullies or people with antisocial disorder and found that they are physically smaller. They were actually doing a study for something else and discovered that the similarity between people who had antisocial disorder, where they had trouble fitting in, they had trouble with the law, people that typically had trouble adapting into society, they had a physically different brain than people who didn't. Isn't that weird?
That is weird. Vicky, go ahead, give your grade.
Goes to Brittany's point. To say if DNA actually does affect it, that means your brain would change each generation resulting from what happened to the generation priors. Well, I don't know, life.
They say too, sometimes they will look at the brain of a serial killer. And I believe, and don't quote me because I think I'm only 90% on this one, but I think they took Ted Bundy's brain and a few other serial killers and looked at it to see what was going on there. And there was definitely some weird spots that were blocked off that, you know, a normal brain would not have. Now, does that give you an excuse to murder?
No. Yeah, well, so the study they were actually doing was something similar to that, seeing if there were spots or different neurological areas that fired or activated at higher rates in certain sectors of the brain, or if there was abnormalities in size. And that's when they realized that the brains in overall sense were slightly smaller.
And it might have been Henry Lucas, if you guys have seen that on the Netflix. I don't know if you guys have seen
Oh, yeah, that. Definitely.
The Henry Lucas story. It's about a serial killer. Fascinating story, though. Really, I highly recommend that if you're looking to get creeped out and go to bed tonight. Henry Lucas story, Netflix.
So that study also doesn't mean they're not any smarter. It just means that their brain's smaller. Weird.
That's great, yeah. Oh, I think it's been proven that serial killers and murderers are not always dumbasses.
Yeah. This one's kind of like a more funny thing I came across. So in the case of discovering aliens, we already have a representative appointed who will handle all communication between them. You can look her up. It's Simonetta Di Pippo. She's the current director of the United Nations Office for Outer Space Affairs and is the designated person to act as the ambassador to extraterrestrials if we ever come across them.
Becky, if we don't have aliens and UFOs and all that stuff's not real, why does that job exist?
That lady gets paid on the American dollar.
I'm like,
why does she get paid? Oh, yeah, aliens are real. Come on.
That's a fair point. It's a fair point.
In case we come across them, she's already on payroll. She's been getting paid.
It's insurance.
Weird.
Didn't Gorbachev and Reagan sit down together and have some kind of alien peace
discussion?
Treaty?
Yeah.
If the aliens come down, we're going to, you know,
they did.
Come together as a species and fight off the aliens like Independence Day. Look that up, Beckett.
I'm actually Googling right now about a bunch of stuff. I actually, while you guys were talking, I was dream scientists are working on recording dreams. They actually have been able to do like what sounds like equated to like back when we had bunny ears on TV. They can loosely reconstruct in video form your thoughts.
But don't fib. You also have Pornhub pulled up as well.
Those free premium memberships really, really good.
Wrong tab, Beckett.
Yeah, don't share that thing.
You ever see the movie The Cell with Vincent D'Onofrio? Jennifer Lopez was also in it.
No.
Jenny from the Block.
You
an
had
old
Vince,
one.
Vince Vaughn was in it.
90s. Well, so
the reason I bring it up is that they develop a psychology that allows the psychologist to enter a person's dream to help them with therapy by connecting the receptors of their brains together. The twist in the story is that a serial killer has kidnapped a girl and she's hidden somewhere and the family's trying to find her, and the serial killer is caught, but he panics and goes into a coma. So they need to enter his mind to figure out where the girl's hidden. It's pretty solid if you haven't seen it. Like 2001-ish.
I mean, all right, thanks, Danny.
I set it up. It'll do the rest.
Is that the fact?
I set it up. You can watch it. It'll do the rest for you.
I was just teasing you. I'm glad you brought that up.
You want to hear another weird thing I came across here?
I know. I kind of want you to tell us about some more obscure movies.
Yeah, you guys got to see that movie. Let's see here. So the reason American public schools offer lunch is because the National School Lunch Program, which was born out of concern that America's youth was too malnourished to serve in the military. It was instituted in 1946. So essentially, they started giving kids lunch because they were afraid they couldn't serve in the military if a war were declared. So you could thank the military for all your lunches. In fact, it's not even funded by the education fund. It's funded by the agricultural fund. Weird, right?
Let's just go ahead and see what the chat room's saying. In the Facebook room, you got Gilberto saying, good one, Denny's. You've got Meredith D giving the face of disapproval, the emoji. I guess the emoji of disapproval. Is that what that is? This one. I liked it, Denny's. Vicky?
The first two were A's. That one, kind of C.
It's weird. It's the whole reason. Everything in America revolves around the military. Let's go on. We'll go on. I see the military is a hot spot for you guys. Let's see. So this is just kind of a funny thing. For some weird reason, it could be my wife Jen is playing through that game, Red Dead Redemption 2, which is an awesome game on the PlayStation. Again. Yeah, she's playing through it again. But it takes place in the late 1800s, the early 1900s of the forming America. And there's so much goofiness from that era just because there were still wonders of the world. People were still trying to figure out what's going on. So that for some reason, that era fascinates me. And so in the late 1800s, there were two rival paleontologists, and they both hated each other so much, they sought to disgrace each other. They resorted to bribery, theft, attempts of cutting off funds. They destroyed the other people's bones. Both paleontologists were ruined financially from doing all of this. But their efforts of trying to outdo each other led to a discovery of 136 new species of dinosaurs. It just proves the old point that spite and embarrassment will take you to the end if you're trying to succeed in something.
AKA Tiger King.
Totally. It's weird when you're in a feud with somebody, the lengths you will go to even ruin yourself financially.
Oh, well, it's the most motivated I've ever been.
Totally.
I think you're right when it comes to either trying to prove somebody wrong or someone pisses you off and says you can't do something or any of that shit.
Do you know what diet is the most successful diet?
With the diet again, Beckett?
Divorce diet.
Oh. Okay.
What? Nope.
It works because when you get a divorce, you're like, I'm going to show that, you know, whoever your ex is, whether.
Oh, you get there. Abs.
Oh, yeah. You get abs. Yeah. Real
anytime a breakup happens and you're already a little pudgy, you're like, I'm going to show that son of a bitch. I'm going to get hot again.
Yeah. And what's the most used way nowadays for people to fully circle back with spite? Some kind of social media, Instagram post with a bunch of attractive
likes.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Well, so I've gotten to the point now, and I'm sure you guys have picked up on this too. I can tell when some of my friends are going through something with either their wife or they're going through a breakup, or because their whole social media game changes on a dime overnight. The next day, I'm like, well, clearly they broke up.
It drives me crazy because what they'll do is, they won't put anything on social media. They break up, and then all of a sudden,
it's like.
For four solid days, it is nothing but hour on hour of inspirational quotes.
I can do
anything. Anything I can do, I can do. It's over the top.
I'm like, pictures of having fun. It's lifting, so funny.
Lifting a mountain. Lift that mountain off your shoulder.
It's just so funny now because social media is part of life, so you can actually see how people are doing from a distance.
Well, the worst is when somebody does a rant, kind of like what we're talking about, and they're trying to send a message, and it's been up for like 7 hours, and there's no likes, no interaction. At that point, you gotta take that son of a bitch down. It's
good.
The numbers. It's about the numbers as we were talking.
Totally. Time does not do that any benefit.
When your buddy's like Denny sees the post, he goes, "Oh man, Beckett saw that no one was liking it. He had to take it down."
That's another thing.
You know what though, Beckett? There's something called cut your losses. Sometimes you cut your losses, man, and just say, "I'm taking a huge L on this one." It's totally. Okay.
Do you guys think it's a bad thing, though? Like, it's an interesting topic because we know, like, what's happening as the person viewing the post. But if they're doing that and they're feeling better, is it necessarily something we should be embarrassed for them about? Or,
yeah, it is, like, because you got to keep your shit together sometimes. Look, I have meltdowns all the time that are embarrassing in the public eye. That's just part of it. I got to own it. I got to go to bed with it.
Like a rain delay in MLB.
A rain delay in MLB, or I just, there are times, here's the thing, when you put it out publicly, you gotta own when it comes right back at you. It doesn't matter the way where you just say shit publicly and expect everyone to go, "Oh, it's great." I know I sound like a dick for saying that, but
that's what I was asking. I'm curious if we let people do that.
That's why you shouldn't do that, because I mean, I Facebook fished before in my life, and I go back and read it.
Cringe.
Oh, I just cringe from it.
Yeah.
I cringe from it.
That actually just happened to me today. Someone put something on Facebook, and they were having a pity party. So I responded with, "Party's over. It's time to get busy." Well, I went back and they deleted. They didn't delete my comment. They deleted the entire post.
Yeah.
So I'm like, listen, if you put something out there, you know, if you can't take how people are going to respond to it, you are looking for another chance for somebody to be like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, well, hugs, kisses, whatever." No, enough is enough.
So I understand the mentality behind Facebook phishing and wanting to just say, "Oh, screw this. I want to get it all." I get it. I totally understand. All I'm saying is feel free to do it. Just people are going to, they're gonna judge you, you gotta
handle it. You can't hide from it.
As if it's inspirational, though. Like, if it's an inspirational quote, are you kind of like, "I know what's happening, but that makes you feel good," then you do that.
So that's just me over here making jokes as a jokester here. When I see that, because I know the psychology.
We know.
I've been there. I've done it where I'm overly positive and I'm lying to myself. It's like, who are you trying to be positive for, Bird? The people are for yourself. And sometimes it's hard to be honest about those kind of things because it sucks when you don't know what's going on and you've got, being emotional sucks. It does. And everybody's emotional, no matter whoever calls you a snowflake, the person calling you a snowflake, it's been emotional too. In a sense, by them calling you a snowflake,
they're getting emotional. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Totally.
So, we're all fucked, Bernie.
There's definitely always people that are going to project their own insecurities out for it. But I think the crux of it is that what we're kind of talking about here, in my opinion, is that if I posted a picture with a bunch of, like, you know, five girls on a boat with, you know, after working out, then that's my insecurity coming out after a breakup. And Denny's and everyone else that knows me really well, they're like, "All right, like, he's trying to, like, get over whatever." But I think the posts that aren't necessarily fishing for compliments, but they're authentic and they're honest, and there's not a veneer of, like, "Hey, like, let me self-inflate on a sugar high my ego with all of these models on a boat, but let me be honest about me going through a tough breakup, looking forward, all that." I think that that's received differently by friends and social media audience.
110% agree, because I think that is a legit, specific example. It's the stuff where, "Worst day ever, life sucks, fuck it."
And then that's a little bit different.
And then they don't reply to anyone.
They don't reply, they just want people to go, "Honey, are you okay? Is everything all right?" Like, it's annoying.
Think about how nuanced that is. Because we would usually go on body language when we're talking to somebody. You see that they're uncomfortable. You see that they're into you. There's a whole bunch of body language you can read. We lose that when we get social media. We're now relying purely on text and emoticons, you know? It's almost like you have to imply what you mean with an emoji. Otherwise, it can come off as snide or rude. It's weird. There's a whole etiquette, but think about how nuanced that is, that we can read that because we use the internet and we know how people talk on the internet.
My favorite is when someone does this on the internet and they're, it's probably, I'd rather have you tell me to go pound tar and screw a skeleton than this. Jay Bird, I love you, but ... So because I said I loved you in the front part, here's the back end where I can destroy you completely and rip you apart to smithereens. Go fuck yourself. No, it doesn't work that way. Just because you say you love me in the front end doesn't mean you got the right. So you have the right to say it. So that's my point about all this. You have the right to say it, but people have the right to respond back to it as well.
Yeah.
Anytime you respond or share or like or do it, just know it's public and you are going to possibly get some shit.
Totally. I actually, you know, with what Denny says, it's interesting. I actually think that as tough of a time as emojis get, I think that they're an amazing tool in the toolkit.
They're essential.
They are. They are.
Oh, man. Because if I send a text and I give like a winky face with my tongue out, you know that it's sarcasm. That wasn't me like pissed off, like hitting you with like a hard jab.
So kind of like, for example, Jay Bird, you're such a fucking loser. You're going to die alone. Emoji, tongue.
Yeah. Well,
okay, got you.
Exactly. But you could think of like, I'm sure I could think of a joke that you would maybe take the wrong way, unless I put up, you're like, oh, Beckett's just messing with me. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like a sarcasm. Because I could do that if we were in person or on Zoom.
Totally.
Yeah.
I absolutely get it. Now, if the whole social media talking to people via the internet, it's such a good topic. Because that's how we're communicating right now.
Well, especially now. Yes. It's how people are solely communicating.
And I've even noticed, me and Denny were talking about, we've even noticed just a level of dickiness.
Yeah.
Just through text messaging, comments through the chat, through just people are a little bit more, go fuck yourself. Kind of just a little bit more biting with their comments. And it's weird because we're getting into this odd, I think and I type.
The filter, the stopping component.
The filter is going away a bit.
Well, so you were always taught, I mean, or, you know, a majority of people, or at least, you know the concept of you think it and then you're like, I shouldn't say that, you know, just to whatever, social etiquette, whatever it be. But with the internet, you get rewarded for the effed up shit you say. So it's like, I see how I censored myself there. You get rewarded for that.
Through my rant, I just dropped like 10 F-bombs.
I censored myself and then I cursed immediately after because I realized I censored myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, you're getting sugar highs, like Becca said earlier. Of course you're going to ride that wave because you're getting rewarded for it. And then you can like people's comments from a superior comment, like a master comment. It's crazy.
Have you guys ever dated somebody and you like them in person and then you see their social media game and you're just like, holy shit.
Whack.
What? You're gonna get me fired.
Oh, totally.
Or if they suck at sexting, you're like, like they don't have a good enough imagination. Like that's no fun.
How did we go from that to that?
That's one of his favorite things.
Completely different animal.
I'm just saying. You guys are here work all day.
Let me see your hands. Where are your hands at?
Now let's see your pants.
Here's the thing, Beckett. I believe you can teach somebody how to sex the right way. You can teach somebody to sex.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
It is.
I don't think Beckett believes you, Bird.
Well, you know, I just don't know if I want to do all that work.
We're gonna.
Yeah, you want somebody that's already in it.
Yeah.
You're right. You're in your late 30s now. You don't have time for this shit.
You got to come to the table with some skills.
You're right.
But let me ask you this, Beckett. You meet a really nice girl. You're into her. She's very attractive. You are just smitten over her. But then her sex game is so terrible. I mean, awful. You're trying
sex
to get
or sexting?
Sexting.
Okay.
It's terrible. You're trying to get into it.
But she's good in the bedroom, in person.
We don't know yet. This is like 3 weeks in.
Okay.
You guys have made out, some heavy petting.
Okay.
But no sex yet.
Okay.
Are you, is that a deal breaker for you?
It's not a deal breaker. I think that my optimism goes down a little bit.
So would you correlate?
Going down.
Would you find a correlation between bad sexting and bad intercourse?
Yeah, well, yes. And I'll even go a step further and just say...
I'm kind of with Beckett on that one.
I think I can see the light in why you think that.
I'm with Beckett on that.
I guess it depends what kind of sex you like, too. But, like, I'll even remove it from sexting into just texting. Like, I actually think just good text banter is actually... That means that, in my mind, in my experience, we have, like, a compatibility. Like, we can banter when you're on vacation or you're at work and we miss each other, whatever. If it's just, like, radio silence and not today's day and age, or you send them a text and it's... Yeah, something sent back to you, it's not really, like...
Yeah.
It's very generic. Okay, yeah. Let me ask you this question, Beckett. If you're dating somebody and you send, you know, a nice text and the girl sends this back, what does this mean? If she just sends back, okay.
Oh, she's done.
You're done. You have done something so horribly wrong.
You're like, yeah. What?
Oh my gosh.
I think a K, a single standalone lowercase K can be offensive. Even in, like, a normal, healthy relationship, like, I'd be like, don't K me.
I get it.
That's so passive-aggressive.
Okay, totally. I think this is a generational thing, because I think people over the age of maybe 50 or 55 go, guys, whatever.
A K is a K.
Quit being such a snowflake. And then I think somebody in their, I don't know, early 30s, 20s go, yeah, you're right. She just sent me a K. What does that mean? Because my dad's in his 60s, and I'll send him this heartwarming text message, like, Dad, I miss you, I love you. He's like, okay, bud. And that's it. But I think my dad's not being a dick. I think he just is old school.
Yeah.
I got the message. Okay, bud, love you too.
Anybody that's hip with it, though, should be on the same page, I think.
Yeah.
Those are social nuances you should learn.
My dad's sexting game would be so weak AF.
Oh, jeez.
That's true. But you are thinking about it. A K with an emoji with a winky face with the tongue out all of a sudden becomes
benign. That's different. Totally, it's different.
Yeah, 100%.
Vicky, you're awfully quiet during this sexting conversation. Or do not partake in sexting? Is that not your style?
Listen, I'm old school. I used to give good phone. So I definitely could give good text. All right.
Good phone.
Vicky with the zinger. I love it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, you're right though. We're at a point where it used to be all about phone sex, and now phone sex kind of like archaic.
Wait, well, like, what?
Do more people FaceTime sex? I've never done a live FaceTime sex. I'd be so scared I'd accidentally
went live.
Live on KVJ or something. Oh my God. That'd be terrible.
That would be rough.
National news.
Oh my God. It'd be awful. That would be rough. Because I'm not looking impressive naked. So that would be just that would make it help go viral. Hot belly DJ.
Now, I actually have a question for Beckett.
Oh.
Let's just say you virtually meet somebody and her sexting game is, you know, on point. She got you going and you decide to hook up and you meet her. And instead of being a 10, she's about a 6. Does she get extra points because she's good at sexting?
Oh, nice. Yeah. She's at least a 7 or 8. She goes from a 6 to a 7 or 8 if she's a great sexter, if she has good game.
So you value sexting over actual sex?
No, but I get her extra points because I have some guy friends, candidly, they have a totally different mentality than I do. They're more, I would say, prioritizing of the physical. So they have very healthy, happy marriages, some of them. And so long as they're having sex with their wife, doesn't really matter how long, how good, it's the quantity rather than the quality. I don't know why, but I'm more of the buildup. I'm a little bit more like some of my girlfriends, like that I like the idea around it. Like I like the buildup of it.
You want to feel the world. Yeah, you want to experience.
I like the passion, you know?
The rubbing.
I like the passion.
Let it marinate on your body.
Well, so
100%. And I would make a case that, in my opinion, that makes you less shallow, because it's less about what the girl actually looks like and more about like the connection and like the banter, whether that is before the sexting, it's like just over dinner, on the phone. When that goes into sexting, it's like your compatibility, your interests, your likes, teasing, build up, like all of that is really important. So yeah, my attraction. So say I meet the same girl, you know, in terms of like what I would rate them on a scale of 1 to 10, the girl that was not good at it would go down. And the girl that was good at it would definitely go up in terms of my attractiveness.
So
me being attracted.
Go at Tiger Face.
I think there's a point in there that Beckett's making that I think, you know, so if a person is like a, let's just say 1 out of 10, you're a 5, but you share a quality or a passion that you're both into, that automatically knocks them up.
If you're dating, okay.
You can actually go up like 6 steps by just nailing it in every other facet.
All right. Well, if you're a 9 or a 10 and you're
you can lose points.
Well, you're a cold fish in the bed and you have a terrible attitude and you don't like to laugh and you take yourself seriously, you knock down to a 4.
Totally.
Now, physically, you're a 10. But honestly, man, that does wear off.
Totally. I'm actually more pessimistic. If I meet a girl that's a 9 or a 10, quite honestly, I'm more pessimistic because society has treated her a certain way. And a lot of times, like, they get treated a certain way. And then by the time, you know, they haven't needed to develop a great personality by and large.
Do you know what ironic means?
Yeah, it's because they got a bigger tip at the restaurant.
Oh,
we've come full circle.
Call back.
Look, sometimes you're just looking for somebody to, you know, when you walk through the door, just give you a hug and go, you know what? It's going to be okay, you big lug. And you rub your belly, order a damn pizza, and rub each other. That's sometimes all
with the pizza.
For. Now you're turning me on, Bergie.
That's how you break out on your
everyone has this. Everyone has their different love languages. You know, that's a book we brought up that they use in relationship therapy that a lot of psychologists and psychiatrists believe in. And I've practiced it a lot and have looked at myself, like, how do I receive love? Like, is it attention? Is it acts of service? Like all the different languages and physical touch. And it's interesting. And I think important to know what your partner, how they give it and how they would like to receive it.
Communication, I think, is key.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
That's what they say to me. All right, let me go ahead and read you this email. Dear Weirdos, this is kind of, I'm interested to get you guys' opinion on this one. This one's a wild email. All right, dear Weirdos, my boyfriend gave me an STD last month. I'm too embarrassed to say what STD it is, but let's just say I'm really bummed out. My boyfriend claims that he got the STD from a ghost. He says a succubus had sex with him against his will, and that's how he contracted the STD. Now, my boyfriend and I are huge ghost believers. We both have had crazy ghost experiences. However, this just feels like he's lying to save his butt. Vicky, Jaybird, can ghosts pass on an STD to a human? Or does my boyfriend's story have zero credibility? Naomi from Miami. Vicky, can you
say... This is 18 plus, right?
It is.
Yeah, I put that.
Bullshit.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So you're going on record right now. There's no way a ghost can give a human a disease.
There hasn't been any documented case that we can prove that a person contracted an STD or any other disease from a ghost.
Because I've had a lot of emails of people saying, can a ghost give somebody coronavirus?
Well, certainly the documentation's not in on that yet because we haven't done the research, but I seriously doubt it. If, let's just put it this way, if this guy really did get it from succubus, he's got more problems than just the STD, okay? Because he's being messed with by a succubus, but the whole thing is BS.
Okay, on the count of three, let's all say what we think the STD is, okay? All right, think about it for a second.
How bummed is she?
No. Think about what STD it is. She didn't name it.
She said it was. She was really bummed, so right, it's got to be like really bummed.
One, hold on, 1, 2, 3.
Herpes.
Yeah, herpes. I think we all said that one.
I was being more optimistic. I was thinking maybe she could get a shot.
What did you say?
Gonorrhea.
Oh, no, there's no way it's Gonzo. There's no way it's the Gonzo. No way it's the Gonzo.
Gonzo.
All right, let's see. That's
about as unrealistic as when your girlfriend comes back from a trip in Europe and she says she got an STD from the toilet seat.
I got crabs from the toilet seat, not from that guy named Ralph.
Yeah.
I think the guy was just caught off guard when she asked him. He was just like, ghost.
Ghost! Like it was a Scooby-Doo episode.
Totally.
Ghost!
It's revealed amazing. It's him that's actually the ghost.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, if anyone does not agree with Vicky and believes they've got an STD from a ghost, please let us know. We will try to get you the proper help. Did y'all see this crazy story? I'm hoping the audio will play. This woman, they were on the way to go to the hospital so she could give birth. And I believe they hit something. And when they hit something, she gives birth to the baby and cannot find the baby. So when the cops get there, they're like, ma'am, what's going on? Where's your baby at? I'm gonna go and play it. So this is the cop arriving on the scene after they hit, I believe, a pole.
She was trying to get to the hospital and give birth. Gave birth in a car.
Where's your baby at?
We don't know.
Where was the baby at?
In her womb. She was coming out and giving birth.
We were concerned with whether the baby was got tossed into the back seat or, you know, had got lost through the window. So
look in that car, see if you can find the baby.
And there it was.
It's moving under the seat. We got your baby. And the other ambulance, okay?
Is she okay?
Looks to be fine. She's moving, breathing. Just fine, okay?
What a story.
Wow. It's just so weird that the baby wasn't connected to the
cord. The umbilical cord.
Did the impact rip it out?
It would have to sever, right? That's the only way you could lose it.
Well, I mean, impact would do that. It would hurt. Ugh.
God. I imagine, it would be one hell of a contraction, but the seatbelt, I'd imagine, would just.
Whoosh. It would all have to be impact, baby flies out, cord.
But I find it hard to believe that it hit the length capacity enough to snap it. It's so weird. That's a weird story. Definitely.
That's a weird story.
It almost sounds like they're actors in that clip to me. Like, that one clip sounds fake to me. I know it's a real story, I'm just saying.
Look, dude, I don't know if that's a real story. Anything could be faked.
Absolutely, these days. But, I mean, you did pull that off, and I did see the article.
Chat room, let us know any more details on that. Birdney, are you checking the chat room out?
Yeah.
If anyone has any details, please let us know. Give us the... The umbilical cord update.
I'm not trying to dog your story, man. I'm just saying.
Dog it. No, we here at the Weird Whatever want to get down to the truth. You can't spell the truth without you.
I like it.
That was terrible.
The letter U.
I mean, that was right off the dome.
The letter U. It was right off the dome.
Letter U.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm not. Yeah. It's not about grammar here, Birdman. All right, you guys, I want to do a little Would You Rather real quick.
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Beckett, would you rather only get coronavirus content anytime you put on a laptop, a TV, the radio? It's only coronavirus for the rest of your life. That's all you get. Or every time you watch something, it's the oldest, grossest people having sex. What would you rather watch for the rest of your life?
Coronavirus. Because I'm a news junkie, and I think that I would make lemonade out of lemons, and I would just make myself a coronavirus expert. And,
but keep in mind, though, in 5 years, coronavirus has been whipped. We got it. And you are just listening to the most mundane bullshit about the coronavirus. It's terrible content.
I still think it's better than old people sex. And coronavirus, as I understand it, is just a family of viruses, right? So
it's
it just
the
means
way.
It's a respiratory type virus. So then I would be said expert in theory on respiratory disease.
But that's all you get to watch and listen to.
That would be the next Dr. Fauci when the next one comes.
I want to listen to some music. Let me put on my iPad. So the coronavirus now is at a point where it's very controlled. That's what you're going to hear.
It's better than hearing someone moan Gertrude every time I put my headphones in.
Yeah.
Vicky?
I want to ask Beckett, what if they were two old sex robots? Would you choose the sex robots?
Oh, shit.
Over the Corona update?
That would have to be some early generation robot sex. I don't know. I think I'd go Corona.
One for Corona, Beckett, Vicky. Old people sex or Corona?
Corona.
Birdie.
Corona.
Denny's.
Old people sex.
Denny's old people sex. ADL. All day long. Yeah. I'm already so sick of Corona.
Yeah.
Give me something to think. Give me something to expand my mind. Cocoon poon.
Ew.
Oh, man.
All right.
No.
Here we go. Would you rather flick off every child you see in public? So anytime you see a kid, you guys are educators. You got to flick them off.
What's up, kids?
Yep. It doesn't matter where you're at. As soon as you see a kid, you're flicking them off. Or every time you go out in public, you do that creepy snake tongue thing to every person opposite of your gender. So, Becca, you're walking down the street and you see a woman. You give her that little snake tongue. Would you rather flick off every kid or give the snake tongue to every opposite sex person you see in public?
I think I'm going snake tongue.
I bet you would.
I think most of the time I'll get slapped, but it might work out a couple times.
So you're at work and you're walking in the hallway and a female employee walks by you and you go, eh?
I guess you'd get more trouble now in today's politically correct climate for doing that to girls than you would flicking off little kids, I think.
Yeah, have fun with that hashtag #MeTooCase.
I mean, I guess if you're flicking off kids, it would only be bad.
The parents are going to want to fight you.
The parents going to want to fight me. Yeah, but then the girl's boyfriend's going to want to fight me if I do snake tongue.
I mean, it's only our podcast, Beckett.
I think I'm going snake tongue.
Heard me.
I think I would do snake tongue too, just because I feel like if someone actually was, she just does that, like that would be a person I would trust. I could actually trust people better because I'm like, if they were able to look past that, then they must be a really good person. So it's a good BS detector.
Keep in mind, it's raunchy snake tongue. It's kind of like a... like you're in a motorcycle gang from the late 60s.
If I did that to you guys, would you still be my friend?
Yeah, I think you'd probably get a lot of friends, Bernie.
Yeah, I think it would be easier for the women.
I think that'd probably be good for you.
Yeah.
So there, snake tongue.
All right, snake tongue for Bernie. Vicky?
I've been an educator much longer than Brittany, so I'm flipping the kids off.
Yeah, I love it. Denny?
I flip the kids off all day long.
Could you do it for the people? Give a little bit of that snake tongue?
That's so, that tiger tongue.
Tiger snake.
If you're just listening and not watching, Denny's just gave his little slithery tongue out there. Good job. Nice.
I like how we did the angle to make it seem longer, a better profile.
nice answers, gang.
What about you?
I'm going to fuck off the kids. I can't, like with Beckett, I'm going to go to an event and I'm doing slithery tongue to chicks. My career.
Like Gene Simmons' tongue.
Yeah. Oh, no.
How bummed out. And this is for the entire chat room. You were the last person on Earth and they said you have to have sex with Gene Simmons. How bummed out are you?
The most bummed out person in the world.
No, you're not. I am. Right. Would you rather have sex with the Tiger King anytime Joe Exotic wanted to have sex with you for a year? So if it's 12 o'clock at night, Joe Exotic wants to call you up and do whatever he wants. That's what's going down. Or you have to always dress like a tiger for the rest of your life. Let's start with our own tiger face, Denny.
So it's only whenever he feels like it, right?
For a year. But if he wants to do it three times in a day, and you still have to produce the KVJ show in the morning.
I'm doing it. I'm gonna just get. I mean, I'm gonna be like his two husbands. They weren't even gay.
And he wants to get down.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it and just get it over with in 1 year and be
solid
done.
Solid year, man. 365, 24/7.
Just the face of a tiger gets me enough attention. Let alone an outfit.
Well, keep in mind too, it's 8:45 in the morning. Kevin wants you to grab some audio for the show, but then Joe Exotic comes in and goes, "Hey, bitch, I need some of my tiger." You have to now. Yeah. Tiger, it's tiger takes precedent.
I'll be like, "Sorry, Kevin, we'll go get plowed real quick. I'll be back." It's just, I mean, I would take it for 1 year, man. It'd be how it'd be.
That would be your new normal.
That'd be the new normal for sure.
All right, Beckett, answer.
I'm going tiger.
The tiger costume.
Yeah, doing tiger costume for sure.
Really?
Yeah. I can't. I just can't. I mean, I'm secure. I just think I would be too scarred for a year of that.
You would be scarred your whole life.
Yeah, my whole
mentally,
life.
Probably physically.
Yeah, I think that I would, I don't know, go work for the Detroit Tigers or something. I don't know. Just make lemonade out of lemons.
Nicky?
He'll give you meth.
I'm wearing the tiger costume. I will just make it work. I'll be known as the tiger psychic.
Tiger costume.
Really, for the rest of your life, you guys are crazy.
Well, then the rest of your life, you have mental and like physical like scarring.
With my job, a tiger costume could totally work with my profession. I can get away with it. I can make it a thing. Yeah, I'm your tiger costume, Denny's.
I hope dresses up as Joe Exotic tonight.
Denny's is the only bottom.
Jen, if you're listening, I got that mullet wig.
All right. You like the big ones or the little ones? Well, you ain't that straight then.
Yeah, there you go. I hope she says that.
I hope she does too.
Would you rather always have cockroaches crawling over your food after each bite? So if you're eating a sandwich, take the bite, you put it down, you look down, roaches are crawling all over it. Or right before you go to bed and you sleep, every single night you wake up with a shit ton of leeches on your body. I mean, Denny's, answer.
Well, I got to go first again.
Oh, yeah. Putting the pressure on my tiger.
Can't you die from that, many leeches?
Nah, for the sake of the game. It just sucks out your energy.
I think that's how George Washington died, actually.
And he had wooden teeth.
I think he had wooden teeth.
I think he did. That's a myth? That's fake?
Yeah, they were made out of like ivory or something. They're in display at Mount Vernon in the little museum they have.
You guys are locking in on the fact that George Washington does not have wooden teeth. I just wanna get this on record.
And he died from leeches.
You guys locking it in? Wooden teeth died from leeches? All right.
That's your guy.
Well, make sure.
Oh my God! All right,
so we do have a George Washington wooden teeth crowd that listens to the show.
Here, I'll take wooden teeth leeches over food having roaches.
All right, Vicky.
Leeches, I think.
Birdie.
Cockroaches.
Beckett.
I'm going roaches. It's Taylor Swift and Shake It Off.
Going roaches. Going roaches, bitches. Oh, yeah. Hey, Birdie, how long have we been going for?
You have to ask Denny's because he's the
Denny's.
One.
Sorry,
we've gone over an hour, like an hour and 15.
Okay. Well, shit. Let's go ahead and wrap this up because it is 5:12 p.m. Do want to thank everybody for listening. I am very sympathetic to understanding the frustration of the YouTube crowd. We're going to try to make it work to where you guys are not ignored. I'm not doing it to be a jerk, just so you guys know that. We thank all support from everybody. Thank you guys for being understanding. And as everyone's saying in the public eye, we'll get through this together.
We will.
We'll get beat the invisible enemy.
Yeah, that's the other one. Yeah. We'll beat the invisible enemy. Okay, guys, we love you all. And
Bigfoot is real.